Could you introduce yourselves, please?
I'm Brad.
I'm Pete.
I'm Matt.
The nom de plume you go under is?
Oberhofer.
So I'll fill in some stuff. Tacoma to NYC, NYU, mom opera singer, Chicago. So I've given you a whole pile of bullet points.
There have been many versions of this band. It was at first an all NYU band. Well, no, not at first. I don't know. Well, it was mostly.
Pretty much.
I don't know. Lots of dudes have been in and out. And a lot of them still live in New York, but I've been playing with Brad for, I don't know, 2.5 years or a while now, a really long time. And Matt's also been around for a while.
The band is primarily Brad Oberhofer, and it's a project, right? You know, so that kind of, you just killed like miles and miles of reviews, you know, by letting us know that.
Everybody in the band, actually, now the reason that the band is in its current lineup is because everybody in the band, who's in the band right now, is a Olympic champion Frisbee player.
Also, until recently, no one in the band has had any tattoos.
Okay, so that leads to the question of, until recently, and then what happened?
Well, now that we're in our 11th carnation, Dylan, who did play bass and then left to go graduate school, is back in the band and he got a tattoo.
Being a Brooklyn band, there is no Brooklyn sound, right?
Yeah, I think pretty much the Brooklyn sound is just the American sound. People just move there from everywhere in America. Just because it's so cool.
It's the herd mentality, you know. Everybody else is there, so, you know, we better go there and get in on whatever the hell it is that's happening.
I actually think there's just like an indescribable charm about New York, and I've you know, been there for 4 years, and I totally love it. And there's just something about the way it works, and the way people interact with each other, and just the way the city is set up, and just there's something about it that is inspiring.
But you form this thing. What do you say as you're forming it? Do you say, well, we want to play this sort of thing? And I'm not talking about influences. I'm not talking about genres. But what did you say to each other as far as, you know, well, we're going to make a band? Or was it just like, oh, we're at NYU. We'll just start writing some songs and see what happens?
I mean, really, really what just happened was I had been working on a bunch of songs and then kind of got in this, like, crazy life situation and so needed to do something and make some money and get a place where I could put a bunch of instruments. So I just sent out a couple of songs to a bunch of blogs and then got some shows and then, you know, found a, like, sort of band, and then it all got rearranged, and then found a manager and a lawyer, and then everything sort of like grew a little bit more. And that's when I found Pete, and who turned out to be like 50 times better than the original drummer that we had. And then our other guitarist, who was like my friend from NYU, went to Buenos Aires. And then I asked a bunch of people in Brooklyn like who they knew, and two of them came back and told me that Matt was like the best guitarist they knew. The two other mates are from Tacoma, Washington, where I grew up.
We talked about Glassnode and Daniel Glass off camera, but the thing that he's done is there isn't a Glassnode sound. But he is curating artists. He's not signing artists. He's really curating artists. And it is an artist-centric label. He's put all the tools in place to act like a big label. White Iris to Glassnode, in between, how did that all, did they come after you?
I mean, there, you know, before White Iris, first I put out just a 7-inch just on my own, just you know, to have something on vinyl. And then my friend Dan had started a label called Inflated Records, and who I actually met interning at Beggars, and he put out the Away From You 7-inch. And then White Iris calls us up and was like, yeah, we want to fly you out to LA to record to record two songs. And so we went out and did that, and that was the first time we recorded as a full band. And so then, I mean, Glassnode all along, like even before I put out the first 7-inch, was interested.
You're like, okay, we're putting out our first record. We're looking for a producer. Let's see, who shall we get as the producer of our record?
Well, I mean, you know,
Steve. What's his name again? Steve Lilly. Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, him.
Well, the thing is,
I think so.
Yeah.
I haven't really paid attention to many historic records. You know, I wasn't really familiar with many producers, and Daniel was sending the music out to tons of producers, managers, and you know, we got hit back by a lot of crazy producer guys, you know, and Steve was just like the least egocentric of every producer that we spoke to.
But when you say the least egotistical, without naming names, tell me about one that kind of walked in and said, okay, I'm really going to rock your world.
Well, I mean, you know, you talk to a lot of people, and they just talk about what they've done with other artists before they even talk about, like,
what they'll do with you.
Exactly. They don't care what you're doing. They basically just drop names and talk about, well, when I was working with this guy, and when I produced this Beck album, and like when I did this with these people, you know. And Steve always just said that that I shouldn't trust him until he's proven himself to me.
That's impressive, though. When you meet somebody that legendary and they're willing to do that. So this whole thing is moving fast. One of my favorite things is, you know, I mean, you go down the whole thing, right? And there's always perception reality, right? You play Letterman and you do your 3 minutes there in the last 5 minutes of the show, and he puts his arm around you and says, thanks, guys. I've been to those. Yeah, that was great. And it's Ober. What's it called? Oberhofer. That was great. Yeah, okay. And holds up the vinyl, of course. But do you have a perception of where you are? I mean, because we just, you know, it's kind of interesting. You're going to play, you know, a big stage tonight in front of, you know, with a Montreal and the Flaming Lips, right? And that's big. And you play Lollapalooza and that's big. And then you play a record store and you handled it great and you were having fun with it and you realized and you just still played really well and all of that. But do you have a perception of where this all is based on that wild mix of insanity?
No.
We're in the basement of Honest Ed's.
Yeah. You're doing well enough so far that you don't have to have your day jobs anymore, correct?
Not really.
Ah, that's where I'm going.
I don't know where we are. I know I tell friends about the shows we're playing and the festivals we're able to play and going to, and they flip out and they can't believe it. And they're like, you're on Letterman. Like, that's it. You're, you know, and they can't believe it. And I can't believe it either, but nothing... I still work at a restaurant in New York, and when we're not on tour, I will go do that, because when I'm not on the road, I'm not making any money. But some people might know who the band is.
We invented a thing called a musical sandwich. It's two of your songs as the bread, and songs by anybody else you want to play in between.